Push the play. Okay. All right. Tonight, the title of our message is Touching God. Now, I know that everyone here tonight, at some time or the other, has been in a desperate situation. Thinking of Cliff right now, with all the money he's put into his truck and his engine lights back on. But, you know, it could be that. It could be a physical condition. Maybe it's financial. Who knows? But I don't know your problems, yet I know mine. And just like you, I have them. I see, over the years, my ministry has had its ups and downs, and I don't mean necessarily with people, just the ministry itself. Brother Alan Jan will understand that. God called me into small, struggling churches to help them grow both spiritually and in numbers. Now, over the years, there's been three churches. By the time came when everything was going along just fine, God called me out. Well, I didn't want to go because it was time just to sit back and relax. And even though I knew it was time for me, it's time for me to go. It usually took about 6 months for me to go. But each time I would reach out to God and try to get him to understand my will, that I would like to stay there, you know. But, you know, I don't know of anybody that's changed God's mind yet. So each time I would leave with nothing. I mean, it wasn't that some other church had called me. It was just I walk out the door and I come home and expect three meals a day and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But anyhow, reaching out to God for whatever our needs are is the most important thing you and I can do. God will always bless our faith. In Mark 9:23, it says, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, if you turn with me to our text for tonight, Luke 8, we're going to look at Luke 8:40-48. If you're at Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 40, it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. A woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? And Jesus says, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared unto him before all the people what cause she had touched him, and how she had been healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Pray once again, Father. Once again, we thank you for your word. We pray that we would all take it to heart tonight, Lord. And anyone that hears this tonight, Lord, I just pray that you would just really think about what faith can do for us. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless your words to our ears, and Lord, put a hedge around this church and protect us. I ask you that you give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross, and we'll give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' precious name, for his sake, amen. Now, our text picks up after Jesus had just returned after being kicked out of the land of the Gadarenes. He had healed a man in the tomb that was possessed by a legion of demons. Jesus had chased those demons right into a herd of pigs, and they went and jumped in the lake. Okay? That's when people ask him to leave, okay? Because, and the reason they asked him to leave, because he was afraid, because that man that was in the tomb was a crazy man. He had a legion of demons in him, and they couldn't keep him tied, they couldn't keep him clothed. But he was sitting there with Jesus, clothed and talking. But anyhow, they ask Jesus to leave, and he gets back into his ship, and he heads back home. And he comes to a large group of people. As we look at the first verse of our text for this evening, we'll see that Jesus came back across the sea, and there was a great number. Look at Luke 8:40. And it says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him." You see, these people were waiting. They were glad to see him, and most wanted Jesus to do another miracle. Jesus had no more than landed when this ruler came up to him, down on his knees, and was begging for him to heal his little 12-year-old daughter. Look at 8:41 and 42 of Luke 8. It says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." Now, here's the thing about this ruler. Jesus could see the man's faith because he saw him as he was coming through the crowd. The Bible says it was not an easy task for him to come through the crowd, either him or the ruler, because they were just jammed shoulder to shoulder. And in verse 32, it says, "As he went, the people thronged him." Now, the word "throng" here has the meaning to press. So here Jesus was in the middle of this large group of people swarming around him, trying to get close. Now, he's politely, you can just see him politely making his way through this mass of humanity to get to this man to help him in his need. Look at 43 and 44. And we see, through all this commotion, a very sick woman made her way through the crowd and touched the hem of his clothing. Very, very important part here. She just touched the hem of his garment. In verse 43, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment." Get this. "Touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue was stopped." Now, the Bible tells us this woman had had an issue of blood and had been that way for 12 years. Now, for 12 years, according to the Jewish law, she had been an outcast. If somebody even touched her, they were considered unclean too. Look with me, if you will, to Leviticus 15, and we'll see why I can tell you for a fact that this woman was an outcast. Leviticus 15, because you understand, Jesus had not died yet, so the new covenant was not in place yet. So everything was under the old law at this time. And here's the law as we read Leviticus 15:25 through 27. It says, "If a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation," that means after her childbirth, "or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of separation. Whatsoever she sitteth on shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash their clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean till the evening." So you understand, this woman had been an outcast. She was the same as a leper. Nobody was allowed to touch her. She had to be an outcast. Now here's a woman that's been living in total humiliation for the last 12 years. While this ruler of the synagogue, he's just been having a good old time with playing with his little girl and having a good time, enjoying her. And this lady had to have been very weak because from the loss of blood, because she, of course, didn't have the blood bank. She couldn't go to the hospital and get a blood transfusion, so she had to have been fairly weak. So we see in verse 33 that she'd already spent everything she had. So here's a lady that is completely down. She's broke, she's sick, she's unclean, and nobody can help her. In verse 43, it says, a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Yet through all this, she knew that if she could just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, that she'd be healed. Now, how many times can you remember where God has used an illness in our lives or one of our loved ones to cause us to want to reach out for him? You see, we're not talking about God reaching out to us. We're talking about us really, truly reaching out to God, searching for the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. You see, we've heard the saying, God has touched a person's life, or God has touched that church, or he's laid his hand on our country. It always has the idea that God was doing the touching. But in this case, that lady felt the need for her to touch God. This, my brothers and sisters, is what God is looking for each and every one of us. He wants us to reach out to him. Oh yeah, we pray. But I'm asking, are we really reaching out in faith? Because too many times our prayers are just prayers. And if we're not praying, really expecting an answer, praying with faith, expecting God to do something, then we're wasting our breath. Throughout each of our lives, God has been reaching out with us with a desire for us to reach out to him. Remember the verse that says, I stand at the door and knock. Now, as we look in verse 44, we'll see somehow, in her weakened condition, she had made her way to Christ and did reach out and touch him. And she was immediately healed. Jesus didn't turn around and wave his hand or bop him in the forehead like these healers do today. And he just simply said, who touched me? But look at Luke 8:44. It says, and came behind. This was a woman. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, her issue of blood was stanched. So like I say, she didn't have to wait on Christ to do anything. She just touched the border of his garment. Just reached out to touch him. Now, God knows when we reach out to touch him. But look what he says in verse 8:45-48. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied Peter, and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng me, and they press thee, and saith, thou who touched me? You see here, when Jesus asked his disciples who touched him, they all said, with all these people around you, ask me who touched me? You see, Jesus knew the difference. Jesus knew the difference between that lady that had the faith to make her way to touch the border of his garment. He knew that. He knows everything. But these other people just running into him and bumping into him and thronging him or whatever. He says, some virtue is going on. And Jesus says, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out for me. Now the word virtue here is taken from the word dunamis, meaning force literally or figuratively, spatially, a miraculous power, usually by implication of a miracle itself. That's taken from Webster's 1828 dictionary. But in this case, just her touching him with a miraculous miracle took place. It was released from his body. Jesus did not need to ask who touched him. He already knew that this was a desperate woman with a lot of faith. Strong enough that it actually touched the heart of Christ. It was when God here is making an example for you and I that we should learn to reach out in faith ourselves to God. Reach out in faith, really, really, really believing that God is going to answer that prayer. Be praying in the will of God, what you know, what you're sure to be the will of God. It may not be, but what you believe to be the will of God. Pray with the faith that He's going to answer it. You see, faith here was a key. And it is a key for you and I to get help. Because if we don't have faith, look at James 1, 6 through 8. If we don't have faith, we're wasting our breath. If we're just praying just to pray, I'll tell you what, it don't make it through the ceiling, folks. But we got to pray knowing that God is going to answer that prayer. Because in James 1, 6 through 8, it says, but let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. In other words, don't say, well, God, I think maybe you'll do it. Would you please do it? But all the time knowing he isn't going to do it. It says, for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, listen closely. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So if we look at our last two verses of our text, we see she was both physically healed and miraculously spiritually healed at the same time. Look at verse 47. It says, when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling before him, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now, I want you to get what he says here in verse 48. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith, there's that key, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Now, we see two miracles take place here at the same time. We see the miracle of the healing, and we see the miracle of the rebirth. For this miracle here with the physical condition of healing her blood, secondly and most importantly, and the greatest miracle of all, is he made her spiritually whole. Verse 48 said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Now, some of the gatherings before he left, some of them were saved also. If you look at Matthew 14, 34 through 36, and we'll see where some healing had come to pass while he was in the land of the Gadarenes. It says in verse 14, verse 34, it says, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Now, Jesus is going into the land now. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only, here we go again, touch the hem of their garment, touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were healed. So you see, it doesn't have anything to do with the hem of his garment. It has to do with Jesus' heart. It has to do with his knowledge of our faith. He knows how much faith you and I have. But just like the woman in the Gadarenes, we all have to seek him. We need to reach out for him. And he'll be there for us. If we look at Psalm 145, 18 through 20, he says, I'll be there for you. Now, this is Old Testament, I understand. But it's the same God. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same God that was in the Old Testament is the same God that's in the New Testament. Only we're under the covenant of grace now, rather than the covenant of the law. But listen to what it says here in Psalm 145, 18 through 20. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Has nothing to do Old, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. It just says here, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth, meaning faith. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He will hear their cry, and he will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. So you have to understand, too many Christians wait till the last minute to reach out to him. And sad to say, many never get around to it. You see, I've never regretted reaching out to Christ in my early part of my, not my ministry, but when I just got myself right with the Lord again. I never regretted reaching out to him and committing my life. I made a vow to God. I didn't just say, well, I'll do it if I got time. I made a vow. And you know, if you make a vow to God from your heart, you better keep that vow. Now, I've done my best to keep it. I'm not saying I've done a wonderful job at it. But I wonder where you are tonight. Have you reached out to God for any help? You see, commitment's not something we can do one minute and forget the next. Commitment, just like the commitment that Christ made on the cross for you and I. It's not a Sunday morning commitment. It's not an everyday. It is an everyday commitment. It's not a Sunday night commitment. It's not a Wednesday night commitment. It is a lifelong commitment that we made. Now, deep down, Christ could... I don't know whether I've told you about the accident I had back in 85, but I had these devastating headaches. I mean, really devastating. I'd pass out with the stupid things. You know, I'd have to go to the hospital about every 3 weeks and get a pain shot. And what I did, September of 1987, after 2 years of suffering, I finally reached out to God. And I made a commitment. I walked through the doors of a little one-room schoolhouse church converted into an independent Baptist church. I got on my knees and reached out, and he healed me both spiritually and physically. I have been without those terrible headaches ever since. This is 2018. Not saying I don't get a headache every now and then. Of course, everybody does. But you see, I reached out for him. First, I made a commitment before I reached out. I made a commitment. I said, God, I will go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. But please, I did not ask him to call me to be a preacher. That was never asked for. And Jeannie's prayed for me all of her life up to that point. But she only prayed that I'd come to church. She did not pray for me to be a preacher. So be careful what you pray for, right, honey? But anyhow, but you see, I reached out for him and I made that commitment. And it's not a one-way street, folks. He warns us very clearly in 1 Chronicles 28:9 that if we forsake him, he'll forsake us. There's lots of verses I could quote here tonight, but I'm just going to give you this one. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, "The Lord searches the heart. He knows what our faith is. He knows what we're asking, whether we're asking in truth or whether we're just trying to change his mind about something." He says, "Lord, searches all the heart and understanding all the imaginations of thy thoughts." Boy, you think about that for a minute. God understands the imaginations up here that goes through these wicked minds of ours. "But if we seek him," he says, "he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee out and cast thee out forever." Now, I'll give you one more, James 4:8, and then we'll be done. "To reach out to him to give up our worldly lusts." In James 4, verse 8, it says, "Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Now, we all know who the double-minded is. That's the guy that's trying to walk the fence between Christ and the world. It's impossible. You cannot walk. You cannot walk both paths. You had to make a commitment to one or the other. And you have to make that commitment with faith. Make it with faith and truth.